Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
Whew. Thank you, Jesus. Just as I am, I come. Hallelujah. Oh, what amazing love. That song almost made me change my sermon. Whew. That was good. If you're a guest today, my name's Trey Kelly. I'm the lead pastor here. And man, we're thrilled. Thank you. We're thrilled that you're here. Thanks for joining us in the room. Thank you for joining us online. But you know, that song actually does set us up pretty well for where we're going today. Because we can sing that. Thank you, Jesus. Just as I am, I come. Hallelujah. Oh, what amazing love. And we sing that song. Some of us who consider ourselves Christ followers, we sing that because we have experienced that. We have done, as the Bible said, we have tasted and seen that God's good. Other people in the room today, it's one of the things I love about our church. I love about our church. We probably have people in the room today who didn't sing that or couldn't sing that because they don't believe that yet. I say yet because you're full of people. You're in a room full of people who didn't believe that at one point. And see, we've created our church for people who don't yet believe in God, to have a safe place to discover God, to fall in love with God, and have their lives changed by Him, just like we all have. And as the pastor of this church and as kind of the person who's supposed to speak on God's behalf and help us all know how to follow God in our lives, one of my favorite things to do is what I get to do today, which is to clear up misconceptions about God. Because sometimes we believe things about God that God never said. Do you know this? People tell us things that God said. God's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I never said that. Hold on now, back up. And one of my favorite things to do as a pastor for people who do believe in God, people who don't believe in God, is to clear up some of these misconceptions, because sometimes it is these very misconceptions that can keep people from taking a step of faith. And so today I want to clear up one of these misconceptions, and it's a misconception that I believe is universally applicable. Now, if you've been in the room, if you're in the room today, you've been a Christian for 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. You wrestle with this issue. If you're here today and you haven't even considered giving your life to Jesus, you were just here because someone told you you'd get a free hot dog afterwards. That's why you're here, and I'm pumped you're here. The hot dogs are going to be great. This is still an issue you're going to wrestle with, and so I do not want you to raise your hand. Do not raise your hand, but I want you to ask yourself if you've ever believed or if anyone has ever told you this statement. Doubt is dangerous. Has anyone ever told you, hey, when it comes to God, when it comes to Jesus, you can't have doubts? Boy, you better not ask questions. You better not wonder. You better be sure. You better make sure your faith is strong. You can't have a weak faith. You can't doubt. You can't ask questions. If anyone's ever told you that, I want you to know, man, they probably said it with the best of intentions. Man, were they off. See, this idea that doubt is dangerous, it's the idea that's dangerous. Because it's not possible for human beings to fully and completely understand the infinite, almighty God of the universe. In fact, if you think you can, we should talk afterwards. If you look at the men that spent the 3 years with Jesus when he was on earth, every single one of them at one time or the other had a question. They had a doubt. If you look at the men that wrote the totality of the New Testament, every single one of them had a moment of question. They had a moment of doubt. So no, in no way, shape, or form is doubt dangerous. The danger is in what we do with the doubt. At no point does Jesus ever say, do not ask me any questions. How dare you question me? That's just not in his nature. What he invites us to do is to bring our questions and to bring our doubts to a place where they can be answered. And so what I want to do today, for all of us, because it doesn't matter how long you have been a Christian, something could happen, there could be a situation where you could have a question about God, and it might even turn into a doubt. And as long as we believe doubt is dangerous, we will always handle it incorrectly. So here's what I hope we can all agree to today. Learning to deal with doubt is crucial to developing our faith. The question is not if, it's when. When I have questions, when I have doubts, when I don't understand, what do I do? And as long as we believe that doubt is dangerous, as long as we believe that doubt is something we are to avoid, we will continue to fall back into what I call unhealthy approaches to our doubts about God. That's what happens when we think doubt is dangerous. We have unhealthy approaches to our doubt, to doubt and to our questions. We have unhealthy approaches for how we deal with it. And it starts this way. Many times we begin to question our faith. We say, well, I guess I'm really not a Christian. See, if I was really a Christian, I wouldn't have these questions. See, if I was really a Christian, I wouldn't have these doubts. If I was really a Christian, I'd understand this all perfectly. And since I don't, I guess I'm not. Well, as we're going to see today, that's just not true. But that's what happens if we walk through life believing that doubt is dangerous. And for some of us in the room, if we think doubt is dangerous, it can even prevent us from beginning a relationship. We don't think we can begin a relationship with God at all. That may be some of you in here today. You're interested in things of God. Jesus sounds really cool. The whole, man, did he die and come back to life? I mean, maybe, but I'm not sure yet. You're still wrestling with that. You wrestle with these other questions, and someone's convinced you that you have to have every single question answered before you take a step of faith. And I would just say that's not true. Because again, finite humans, infinite God. We're never going to understand him fully. We're never going to understand him completely. But as long as we have an unhealthy approach to questions and an unhealthy approach to doubt, for sometimes it even prevents us from taking a step. So it causes us to question our faith. Sometimes it prevents us from even taking a step of faith. And then some of us handle it very maturely. We simply ignore it. Hey, I thought you had a question. I don't have any questions. No, but you said when we were talking, I don't have any questions. No questions. And we ignore it. And we put it somewhere. You know what happens to stuff we ignore? It doesn't go away. It grows. And it festers. And at some point, it comes back out. And so what I'd love for us to do today is I'd love for us to turn to Jesus. Okay, I don't want you to take my word for this. You should not take my word for this. I'm just a guy. My job is to point you to what God said through his son, Jesus, so that we can all learn how better to follow Jesus, those of us that consider ourselves Christ followers, those of us who do not consider ourselves Christ followers today. My hope is that you discover how overwhelming the love and the compassion is that Jesus possesses for every single one of us, and it is that love, it is that compassion that will draw you to him today. And when you are drawn to him, and I believe you will be, no, you will not have a perfect faith. You will not have every question answered. You will have questions. You will have moments where you doubt God. It will happen, which is why we're talking about this today, because, say it again, learning to deal with doubt is crucial to developing our faith. It's absolutely crucial. So, I want to go to a story from the life of Jesus that involves Jesus and his cousin, John. If you grew up in church, you may have heard of this guy. His name was, we call him John the Baptist, John the Baptizer. What that means is he didn't drink with other people. Get it? Because he's Baptist. Get it? Have your Baptist friends explain it later. Won't say that at second hour. Didn't work. All right. She just wrote it down. She wrote a note. Okay. John the Baptizer. He was what the New Testament calls a forerunner to Jesus. He literally prepared the way for Jesus. John's father was a Jewish priest, and an angel actually appeared to John, I mean to John's father before John was born and said, "Hey, I'm going to give you a child." Same to his mother. "Hey, I'm going to give you a child, and your child is going to prepare the way for the Messiah. John's mother was cousins with Mary, Jesus' mother. As soon as Mary gets pregnant with Jesus, she goes to see John's mom, and John's mom says, you have the Messiah inside of you. The Messiah was the promised rescuer that was supposed to come to set God's people free. He was the fulfillment of all the Jewish prophecies, and he was the guy who was going to come and set things back in order. So before John was born, his parents knew that his job was to preach about the Messiah. They knew his cousin Jesus was the Messiah. So from birth, John had been told, your job is to prepare the way for your cousin Jesus. From birth, he had been told this. If you're familiar with the beginning of Jesus' ministry, Jesus is baptized before he begins his ministry. He is baptized by his cousin John. John says, whoa, 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 I'm not worthy to baptize you because you are the Lamb of God. And Jesus says, no, man, I want you to baptize me. And so John does. As John baptizes Jesus, you might have read about this. If you've ever read the Bible, you might have seen this illustrated on a television show or a movie. As he's baptizing Jesus, everyone there hears the voice of God from heaven say, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. You know, sometimes you're like, God, I wish you would just send a voice from heaven to tell me what to do. That happened to John. John had angels. He had a voice from heaven say, this is my son. I tell you all that to say, if anyone's faith should have been strong, it's John the Baptist. If anyone should have been confident in who Jesus is, it's John the Baptist. From birth, he had been told what he was going to do, and he literally heard God confirm it out loud. But we're going to turn to a story today in Matthew chapter 11. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Matthew. That is the first book in our New Testament. In Matthew chapter 11, we find a very different John. Here's what we're told. John the Baptist, who was in prison, heard about all the things the Messiah was doing. The Messiah is Jesus. As I said, the Messiah was just the label the Jewish people put on this Savior that God was going to send to reestablish the nation of Israel and to fulfill his mission on earth. That's what Jesus was. That's what Jesus did. So John the Baptist was in prison, and he heard about the things Jesus was doing. Now, he was in prison because John the Baptist was bugging the guy in charge. The guy in charge was a guy named Herod. Herod decided that he liked his brother's wife more than he liked his wife, so he took her. And John the Baptist was like, hey, Herod, you can't do that. And Herod said, shut up. And John the Baptist said, but dude, you can't do that. And Herod said, I told you to shut up. And John said, but man, you can't do that. Herod said, you're going to jail. And if Herod puts you in jail, you didn't get out. So John knew he was in trouble for telling the truth, for doing what he should have done. But John's in prison, and he hears about what Jesus is doing. So this super credentialed Christian who had literally heard God talk has a question. Here's what he says. He sent his disciples to ask Jesus, are you the Messiah we've been expecting? Or should we keep looking for someone else? Hey, man, just checking here. Are you really the Messiah? Because what he's indicating is, because it sure doesn't feel like it. John the Baptist, whose parents were told by an angel what he was going to do, who knew the Messiah in his mother's womb, who had been raised his entire life to know Jesus was the Messiah, who had baptized Jesus and had literally heard God speak, doubts the very essence of who Jesus claims to be. He's not asking a question about what heaven's going to be like. He doubts the very core of his faith. This man that I believe is the Savior, is he really who he says he is? You can't have a bigger doubt than that. And as I observe this, I think there are some reasons we can understand why John had these questions. In fact, I think there are two contributing factors to John's doubt. And I want to point these out to you, because as you know these moving forward, it's a way for you to understand your questions. It's a way for you to understand your doubts. What's going on? Why do I have these questions? Why am I so confused? Well, there are two contributing factors to John's doubt. Number one, his circumstances changed. It was easy to believe Jesus when you're out preaching on his behalf, when you're seeing lives change, when you're baptizing him, when the voice of God says, hey, this is my son. It's much more difficult when you're in jail about to die. His circumstances changed. And number two, his expectations were not met. The expectation for the Jewish Messiah was that he would be a military leader, was that he was going to reestablish the nation of Israel, that he was going to overthrow the Roman government. And you got Jesus talking about loving your enemies and praying for people, and he's healing Romans. He's talking about Roman centurions having faith. And John is like, what is going on? See, I point that out because that's what causes doubt in our lives. We don't doubt when things are going great. We don't doubt when we're walking and when everything makes sense. We doubt when our circumstances change, and we doubt when our expectations go unmet. When we pray and we pray and we pray and God says no. We doubt. When we've done the right thing and completely with nothing that we've done wrong, completely out of our control, circumstances completely change. Those are the moments Christians, 30-year Christians, 50-year Christians, those are the moments we have questions. Those are the moments we have doubts. And even if they're small, we have them. And sometimes we can allow that to make us question our faith. And sometimes we just simply ignore it. But what I believe the Holy Spirit led Matthew to record this story, the reason I believe it's recorded, was for us thousands of years later to be able to read it, to know there's a better path for our questions, there's a better path for our doubt, to learn what we've been saying over and over and over. Learning to deal with doubt is crucial to developing our faith. It's crucial. So when our circumstances change, when our expectations are not met, when we have questions, when we are confused, when we have doubts, what are we to do? The answer is we do the last thing we want to do. The answer is we do the very thing we don't think we're allowed to do, but the thing John knew he could do. And it's this: we bring our doubts to Jesus. John doubted who his cousin said he was. But what did John do? He went to his cousin. He didn't ask his friends. He didn't ask other people. He didn't rely on himself. He went straight to his cousin. He went straight to Jesus and he said, bro, I am super confused. Are you the Messiah or not? See, so often we forget that we can do that. Through God's Holy Spirit, we have direct access to Jesus in prayer. We can pray to him. We can ask him questions, and he will answer us. We can read the biographies of his life. We can read the history of the early church. We can read the letters written by his apostles, and he can speak directly to us. We can, in prayer, reflect on what God's done in the past and allow him to remind us, no, you've been here before. This is what's going to happen. I've got you. We can discuss with trusted people who we know have a strong faith. Hey, man, what is God doing here? We can do that. We can ask those questions. And here's the thing. God doesn't get mad about that. God doesn't push back. God doesn't get upset, because Jesus is trying to build a relationship between you and him and between you and his Father. In any other relationship in your life, if you have a question about that person, who do you ask? Hopefully that person. And they answer and you go, oh, okay, good. Well, Jesus is trying to grow a relationship with us. And so he says, I get that you're going to have questions. I get that you're going to be confused by things I do. You're going to be confused when I say no. You're going to be confused when I say yes. Of course you're confused. I can see the future. You can't. I know why I said no. You don't know yet. In 3 years, 2 months, 4 days, and 7 hours, you're going to know. But in the meantime, if you want me to assure you of what's going on, just ask me. I will assure you that I love you. I will assure you that I have your best interest at heart. And I will assure you that I am taking you somewhere better. You can just ask me the question. And I know this because John asks the question, and Jesus answers. And he doesn't just answer vaguely. He answers perfectly. Here's what Jesus says. Jesus told them, because remember, John sent some disciples. And so he says, go back and tell John, go back to John and tell him what you have heard and seen. And then he says, the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised to life, and the good news is being preached to the poor. Now we read that and go, all right, yeah, you're doing a lot of cool stuff. I get it. But see, to John, he said the magic words. Because what Jesus just did is he just quoted ancient Hebrew prophecies. See, God spoke to the nation of Israel through men called prophets. And he would sometimes give them directions for the nation of Israel, and he would sometimes give them promises, prophecies. This is what is to come. This is what will happen. That's how they knew to expect a Messiah. That's how they knew to expect a Savior. Well, so what Jesus just did is he just quoted 700-year-old prophecies right back to John, whose dad was a priest, which means John probably would have memorized the entire Old Testament. He would have been intimately familiar with these Hebrew prophecies, specifically about the Messiah. So he says, are you the Messiah? And Jesus quotes messianic prophecies back to John. In essence, the alarm company just called your house and you gave them your password. I've made friends with mine because they only call because my kids set the alarm like every 3 days. Hey, yeah, it's Trey again. Yes, Dad, the password is, you thought I was going to say it. But no, you say that password so they validate that it's you. That's what Jesus just did. He didn't say, John, what is wrong with you? He didn't say, John, how dare you? He didn't say, what a weak man, what weak faith. With compassion, he understood, man, he is scared. He doesn't know what's coming. His situation has changed. His circumstances has changed. I am certainly not what he expected me to be. He's asking a question in good faith. He's asking a question in earnestness. He's asking me to ease his doubts. And so I'm going to ease them perfectly. Hey, John, I'm the guy. You're good. And if that were the end of the story, that'd still be a good story, right? Hey, here's what you do. But Jesus knew that that wasn't the end because he knew what was going to happen next. As soon as John's disciples leave, all the people in the crowd start to kind of murmur. Can you believe that his own cousin doubted him? I thought he had a stronger faith. You know what? We will pray for him. And I'm going to put on Facebook what happened and ask everybody to pray for him. Because he needs some prayer. See, Jesus knew, hey, I've got to clear this up, that what John just did is great. That what John just did is right. That what John just did is perfect. That what John just did is what I want every single one of my followers to feel free to do anytime they have a question. So Jesus clears it up. He says, I tell you the truth, of all who have ever lived, none is greater than John the Baptist. So you guys think he's weak because he asked that question? It's one of the strongest things I've ever seen anybody do. And then Jesus continues to talk. He talks about John the Baptist, and then he makes an interesting shift. Because again, he's trying to teach us something. He begins to talk to the crowd about all the towns he'd been in. Because Jesus was a traveling ministry. He would travel from town to town. He would preach. He would perform miracles. And some towns received him. Other towns rejected him. They said, no, get out of here. We don't want any part of what you're doing. We don't believe. Get out. So Jesus begins to talk about those towns in the context of what just happened with John. And then he says these words a few verses later. Then Jesus began to denounce the towns where he had done so many of his miracles because they hadn't repented of their sins and turned to God. Jesus begins to denounce the towns that heard what he had to say and didn't repent. And now you may hear that and say, Now, wait a minute. Why do the towns who had questions, why do they get denounced and John, who had questions, gets praised? What's the difference? And a few verses later, Jesus answers the question. When he says, at that time, Jesus prayed to his Father. Jesus would always do this. He would pray out loud so people could hear him pray. He'd pray near people, hoping they'd listen. You know, he would teach through his prayers. He said, "Oh, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, thank you for hiding these things from those who think themselves wise and clever and for revealing them to the childlike." All right, let me explain what he's doing here. He's denouncing the towns that didn't receive him because they thought themselves wise and clever. Because they thought their questions so great, they thought their doubts so good that they didn't even investigate. They didn't even ask. They didn't even lean in. They just said, "We're not interested." And he praises John because John brought a childlike faith to Jesus. What characterizes any conversation with children? Questions. I cannot be the only one raising three kids who gets constant questions. Questions, 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 questions. Did the Braves win last night? You have a phone. Look it up. I don't remember. Constant, constant questions. What do kids do with their questions? Do you know what they do? They go to a trusted source and they receive the answer. That's what he's saying. He's saying, don't be like these towns who let their questions win, who let their doubts win, who didn't think they could take him anywhere. Be like John the Baptist. Bring your questions to me. Bring them to me open-hearted. Bring them to me honestly. Come and ask and receive my answer. My youngest, Jacob, he's my questioner now. Question, 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 question. My favorite question he's ever asked. This was a few years ago. He asked my mother. They call her Mimi. He was just question, 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 question. I think they were in the car. And he finally goes, "Mimi, what planet are you from?" She didn't laugh. I'm glad you did. See, what I believe Jesus is teaching us in this moment, he's inviting us to bring a childlike faith to the relationship. And he is proclaiming the life of a Christ follower should be characterized by questions. Why, you say? Because he's God and we're not. And because every single day he does things that are beyond us. He does things we don't understand. He moves in ways we can't. He turns bad things to good. How does he do that? I don't know. He does. And he wants to build a relationship with us. And so he says, ask your questions. Bring them to me. Come to me honestly. Come to me openly. Say, "Jesus, I don't understand what you're doing here. I don't understand how we did this. Jesus, I've read some of the Old Testament. I don't understand how a man lived inside of a whale for 3 days. I'm so confused by that." Jesus would say, "Yes, I understand. That's confusing. Let me explain. I'm God, you're not. I can move time and space. I was dead for 3 days, then I came back to life. What I'd ask you to believe and hope and know is that all those stories, all that power, it's not to show off. It's so that when you are in a tough situation, it's so that when you see an insurmountable obstacle, that you can remember, oh yeah, I have a God that can do things bigger and greater than even I can understand. Whew. And I still don't understand it all, but I'm grateful for it. And I trust it. Because when I have questions, I bring them straight to my Heavenly Father." And so if you're here today and you have questions, maybe even doubts, doubts because you don't feel like God came through, doubts because you don't understand what's happening, you don't understand your circumstances, doubts because you feel like God's let you down, you feel like an expectation has gone unmet. If that's you, you are in great company. The man who literally heard God talk felt the exact same way. And he models for us what to do. We take those questions, we take those doubts straight to Jesus. And if you're nervous about that, if you feel uncomfortable, if you are afraid that he's going to be upset when we do that, he ends this teaching with this statement. He says, come to me, all of you who are weary, all of you who carry heavy burdens, all of you who carry heavy questions, all of you who carry heavy doubts, come to me and I will give you rest. Just bring them to me. I'll help. I'll ease your mind. I will give you what we Christians call that peace that passes understanding. I can settle your soul. And we will never experience that gift. We will never get to taste and see the goodness of God with our questions as long as we believe this statement, as long as we believe that doubt is dangerous. That statement is dangerous. Because hopefully what God's revealed to me and you and us today is a simple point. Learning to deal with doubt is crucial to developing our faith. Do you know what type of person demands blind loyalty? Do you know what type of person demands don't ask any questions? Someone who has no answers. It's the wizard and Wizard of Oz. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. Well, no, sir, I think we're going behind the curtain because this is where the action is. Jesus is not afraid of your questions because he literally has all the answers. Why would he demand a blind faith when he would much rather spend the days, weeks, months, and years, decades, daily easing your burdens, daily giving you rest, daily teaching you more, expanding your understanding, making it possible for you to truly have a deep, sustained faith built on a relationship of trust. People who say don't ask questions tend to be cult leaders. That's not Jesus. Jesus says, kick the tires, man. Ask away. I got nothing to hide. My truth will stand up to all scrutiny. That's what we say as a church. We say this all the time. We want to be the safest place in Myrtle Beach for you to doubt God. Ask your questions. Because we know he'll answer. And we know he'll answer in a perfect way that will draw you closer and make your faith stronger. So, hopefully we've cleared that up. Doubt is not dangerous. Doubt is natural. Doubt is the normal reaction of finite humans worshiping an infinite God. His ways are higher. And when we don't understand, we ask him openly, willing to receive. And we trust his answers. So my prayer today is that all of us, whatever the questions, whatever the doubts, or maybe we're just prepared for the next time our circumstances change. Maybe we're just prepared for the next time our expectations go unmet. Do not allow your questions, do not allow your doubt to make you question your faith. Do not allow your doubt to be something you just simply ignore. We've learned today how to deal with doubt. And it's crucial to developing our faith. So let's be people who bring our questions, who bring our doubts to Jesus. Let's receive his answers. Let's let him build a strong, steady, foundational relationship that we can use to lean on in the storms, that we can use to propel us toward his purpose, and what we can count on when nothing else makes sense. We have a God who answers our questions. We have a God who welcomes our confusion. Because he is in exactly who he says. And he sent his son to prove it. We can trust. We can believe. And when we question, we can ask. Let's pray. Father, we love you so much. God, we're just so thankful for your son. We're just so thankful for his love and his compassion and your willingness to allow us to question you, to bring our doubts, to bring our confusions. God, thank you for the courage of John the Baptist. Thank you for the wisdom of Matthew to listen to your Holy Spirit and write it down so we can read it thousands of years later and know it's okay to bring our questions to you. God, give us the wisdom to identify the areas where we have questions and the courage to bring them directly to you. And then open our eyes to hear as you seek to give us rest. We love you. We thank you. It's in your son's name we pray.